Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm Trevor Sycamore. With me is Benjamin Solak. Ben, we got a big problem today.
Uh-oh.
We are 3 days into grading quarterbacks.
Cornerbacks.
And at this pace, we are going to run out of slots in the first round for all of these corners.
I'm going to tell you something right now. My top five is going to have at least seven players, and you can't stop me.
This quarterback class is good, dude. They're really good.
And I had a devastating moment, and you know this, in the Slack channel today, because I went into our content channel so as to claim a piece extolling the virtues and the prowess of this cornerback class. And then after I claimed dibs, I realized I didn't have an open, unscheduled topic. So, like, a topic I could just write about whatever I wanted to. Mm-hmm. I don't have one for the next, like, 3 weeks. And so there's no way I can call dibs on this topic and hold it for literally through, like, the whole preseason. Like, I just did not. I can't do it. And so someone else is going to have to write it. But, man, I mean, yeah, this corner class is significantly better than last year's. And then we have to start wondering how it holds up to, like, 2017s, and which is a fantastic class, and I believe there was another good class in the 2010s that had like multiple starters. But you know, we don't know necessarily exactly who everybody's coming out yet. But if we get a decent amount of these underclassmen, it's underclassmen Wednesday, of course. If we get a decent amount of them, yeah, I mean, like, this is going to have multiple first rounders locked in and the potential for like 4 to 5.
Yeah, there is somebody on this podcast who does have an open publish coming up later this week. So that specific person might just jump on the topic.
Do it, and I'll read it. And if I hate it, I'll do it better.
Listen,
hostility.
Creating content with content. Has science gone too far? Who do you want to start with today?
I think I have not had as much fun watching. This is the most fun film evaluation I have done this year so far is Paulson Adebo, the corner out of Stanford.
Hell yeah, brother.
Oh my goodness.
There it is. I've teased this all week. This is the guy that I was talking about. That could be CB1 because, spoiler alert, on Friday, he will be my CB1. Paulson Adebo is awesome. He is the corner from Stanford. He is about 6'1", buck 90, buck 95. He is in his... So 2018 as a sophomore was his first year playing, like, at all. Did not see action in 2017. He started 12 games. Not only did he start 12 games, he was number one in the nation in pass defended with 24. Like, the kid had the stats alone, and we could just read off the stats and they'd be great. Four interceptions. Like I said, the 24 pass defended, had a forced fumble on him, had five tackles for loss, had 64 total tackles. And then you take it to the tape, you take these stats to the tape, tape's even better. Tape shows you even more of what you'd wanted to see than the damn stat sheet does. This kid's good.
Trevor.
Yes.
Four-star wide receiver, corner, dual prospect coming out, committed to Notre Dame. Dream school is Stanford. And the last hour, Stanford says, we'll commit you if you play corner. And Paulson says, all right, I'll go. He was wide receiver commander. Notre Dame says, all right, I'll go play corner for you guys. I tweeted this out. There's nothing wrong with this film.
Nope.
Nothing.
Nope.
Nothing. I think he could be better at interceptions. Like, he has 24.
Oh, my God. If you say those words to me again, I'm just going to spam you the one-handed interception against Cal every morning from now until draft day.
The Cal one. The Oregon one, obviously. Oregon here, it was the one-handed pass breakup.
Yes, which is just so nasty. The one in the end zone you're talking about? You're talking about the one in the end zone?
Play, and that's one of those plays you go back to watch. And this is overtime, second and goal. You know, Oregon's trying to tie the game to extend it. Stanford, a huge comeback. This is one of those plays where you watch it, and then you watch it again, and then you watch it again, because you just don't understand how it happened. Like, it's so irregular that you're just not sure what went into it in terms of how it came to pass, how it came to be, how physical space was condensed in such a way so as to allow him to close on this football. His range in terms of attacking the ball is ungodly. It's unseemly. It should
Dude.
be explicit content. You should be able to have to put this on HBO. You can't put it on regular broadcast channels. Oh my
I'm gonna label
goodness.
this podcast as explicit this episode because I normally label them as clean
Yes.
in Megaphone, but I'm just gonna use this one as explicit because we're talking about some graphic
All right.
content, and that is Paulson Adebo playing cornerback.
Adebo, he is wonderful foot quickness, balance, and smoothness getting in and out of his breaks. He has the length, the stride length, and the upper body strength, as well as the willingness to play physical to win in
Oh
press
my
coverage
Lord.
as a step kick player. He is
Dude.
smart and aggressive and baiting and clever and reading the backfield and zone coverage, rarely false stepping. If he does, he has the athletic ability to recover. He is tremendous, tremendous in run support. For an X wide receiver,
So
those players should not be coming up and filling half man, keeping outside shoulder clear, wrong arming, all this nonsense. He makes regular tackles at or near the line of scrimmage. He tackles well in space. He can deliver a hit. He can consistently break down. Nothing he can't do. Nothing he can't do. No, nothing. Nothing. Nothing he can't do.
So my two favorite things about Adebo that put him over the top. I mean, we talked about this. It is a really good cornerback class. For you to be above guys like Christian Fulton, like Bryce Hall, guys like that, it would take a lot. But Paulson Adebo has a lot. He has the stats, he has the highs, the interceptions, the ball skills, the top end plays. But what makes the difference for me and why he's my CB1 is two things. One, even on the catches, this guy gives up. If you don't put the football exactly where it is, he will knock it away. His hands and his anticipation to swing his arm, his timing to bat passes away is exceptional. And for cornerbacks, you're not always going to be exactly where you need to be. But more often than any other cornerback I've scouted in this class, maybe for a long damn time, this guy makes every single catch difficult. You better put it exactly where only the wide receiver can get
Great
it,
point.
or he is knocking it away. And there were a couple catches, especially in that Oregon game when I was watching him versus Herbert, because that was a really great matchup. Herbert put the ball legitimately the only place he could put it, and Adebo yielded the catch. But you know what? That's 100% a rep win for Adebo. I don't care. I don't care.
Right.
But
That's
that's.
the thing is like if you can throw. You can cut up like four completions that were hit on him in the Oregon game if you want to. Go for it.
They're
The
perfect
thing is,
reps.
he's in great position on all of them. Herbert's a good player. You put
Right.
on the Notre Dame film, and all of a sudden you have a player in Ian Book who's not as accurate as Herbert is. Still a good quarterback, not as accurate as Herbert is. Those are good receivers, Chase Claypool, Chris Finke, Miles Boykin, who are separating all on Adebo, but he's able to so regularly, again, the closing speed in
Yep.
terms of explosiveness and length. Then the ability to see and play the football, so good. And it's for a player as good in press coverage and physical as he is, as suffocating as he is at the line, and the ability to smother you down the field, for him to have the skills that he has in off coverage, which he just objectively does not need to play against 98% of the wide receivers in college, for him to be that good in off coverage.
Yeah.
In order to read
Yeah.
through the receiver's break, through his hips, into the backfield, close on the football, is obnoxious.
He's a
How
natural.
dare you?
He's a natural. And
He's so good.
the other thing that I wanted to mention is the tackling. Like this dude will come up and stick you, no question. A lot of these other guys, even some of the more physical cornerbacks, none of them hit like Paulson Adebo hits. And it's awesome. He is, like you said at the very beginning, there's nothing wrong with this film. There's really not. Not to say that he can't always improve. Watching film, getting better at technique, noticing things a little bit better, having even more anticipation. Always, there's always something you could work on. But when I'm trying to find negatives in this guy's films, show it to me. I don't really see it. Especially when you think that this kid's first year as a starter was last year. That
Dude,
is crazy. We're talking about a really good corner here.
he has one job this year, and it's come back and be exactly the same as he was last year, come
Don't
out
get
and be a
hurt.
top 10
Don't
pick.
get hurt. That's it.
Exactly.
That's the only thing. Don't get
It's
hurt.
just like give no reason for anybody to believe that last year was a flash in the pan. Like, you don't have to get 24 pass breakups again. Like, that's really hard.
They're
But
not going to
like
challenge him that much again.
exactly. Like just be productive in terms of attacking the football, generate some interceptions when the opportunity provides itself. Cover well, continue to have good film, and like you said, don't get hurt. And then just declare as a junior and make millions of money being ridiculously sticky in man coverage. Amen.
All right, who's next?
Let's let you talk about CJ Henderson for a little bit. So I'm interested to hear what, because you have obviously these Gatorade. And so I know you're gonna have a lot of perspective on him. You usually do for the Florida kids, and I heard a lot of good things about CJ Henderson. Not sure I feel a lot of good things about CJ Henderson. So I want
to
hear what you say.
I think there's certainly good things to feel, but in this cornerback class, it's hard. You're watching so many really really polished and good corners. That even I think what CJ does well, you're stacking him against some really good guys. And that's why when we were hearing like CJ Henderson's name in the top 10, the top 15 of way too early mock drafts, even a couple months ago, I was like, yo, guys, like I understand that CJ's athletic, and he is. I think he's very explosive. I think he's smooth. I think he's got great long speed. He's got good recovery speed. All that stuff exists for him. But there's a lot more elements that come to playing corner. And those, I still was honest and I've watched him for 2 years now. He's been a starter for Florida because they really didn't have too many options after McElwain left and basically sucked the talent of the roster dry. He's been starting for 2 years, freshman and sophomore year, going into his junior year now. Bruce Feldman had him on his freaks list this year. And let me read out the excerpt here. The 6'1", 193-pound corner has just 4.3% body fat. That's not true. But is one powerful dude. He benches 380 pounds and did 16 reps. It is indeed. He did 16 reps of 225 this offseason, which would be a lot for a corner. To go along with a 545-pound squat, a 40.5-inch vertical, and a 10.5-foot broad jump. So the kid's got explosion. He's strong. He's very athletic. I think when you're playing him, he's a guy who likes to play a lot of man coverage, you know, play some bail and some cover three as well. I think he flips his hips really well. I think, like I said, he's got good long speed going down the field. He's got great recovery speed to routes that are in breaking towards the middle of the field. But he gets bodied. He really does. I understand that Feldman said that he's strong, and I think that CJ Henderson is strong. You know, when he's coming in off the blitz and chipping some tight ends and getting in there at the quarterback, I think he can make a difference as a tackler. But there are a lot of times in the run game where I think that he is just getting bullied back. And he doesn't play a ton of press coverage because I think that he knows and the coaches know that he's going to get bullied a little bit. And when he keeps his hands off, keeps his hands clean, then he can just go athlete for athlete to mirror a guy down the field. Once you get out that contact window, he can pretty much stay even with him and cover him pretty well. But there are strength deficiencies to his game that exist right now that don't give me as much encouragement as some of these other guys, especially because I think he's got to put on weight, and then you talk about where does the athleticism go after that. I think he's got good ball skills. There are a couple of diving interceptions that he's had over the last 2 years. I think he reads things at a decent level. I don't think he's the best processor, but I think he's fine at this point going into a draft-eligible year. I wouldn't say that's a big knock on him. But, yeah, I think the strength portion of his game is really the one that I see the biggest glaring need, because when you lack strength, especially as a man coverage corner, that kind of dictates a lot of different things you can do, and it obviously limits how effective you could be in run support. So with so many other good cornerbacks in this class that have a better all-around game, even though I think Henderson's a great athlete for the position, that deficiency is kind of where I come up short with him from a handful of names above him.
Trevor, we went to two weddings together in the month of May, and so you know, but the people may not know. I cry at everything. I cried very easily. I cried very aggressively. On the plane ride back from the summit this past weekend, I watched the first 23 minutes of a movie about two cystic fibrosis patients who fall in love, and I had to stop because I was crying explosively on the plane. Got 23 minutes in. These cystic fibrosis patients can't get within 6 feet of each other. This is how CJ Henderson plays football. Just trying to play as far outside of the receiver's cylinder as he can.
Well, the contact window, yeah. I was also really right. Wondering where that was going, and that was beautiful. You did really, you painted the picture extremely well.
I finished that movie today while I was working, and I just cried alone in my apartment because that's a lot more socially acceptable.
It's not social at all.
Exactly. He just wants, like, down the field, tagging crossing routes. You know, just like anything, any route that has duration and that covers distance, Henderson plays that sort of technique where he's like, I'm just going to chill kind of out here. Like, I'm going to look like I'm not connected. And then when you begin your throwing motion, I'm going to try to close down and attack the football.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And that's fine.
And he does it.
Right. Because the thing is, and you brought this up at the top, impossibly quick.
Yeah.
I mean, just lightning in a bottle. And then the swivel is crazy. Dude's a top. Like, he can go any direction he wants. He's a joystick out there. Great, great, great traits for a man cover corner. So you're playing that I don't want to call it a passive style. It's not really passive. It's just a baiting style. You spend a lot of time with your eyes in the backfield, and you spend a little bit too much time just guessing. You're jumping at shadows. You're trying to – Henderson's got a very much – like, I was – Henderson is not Asante Samuel, but I was reminded how Asante Samuel would, like, give up two completions to get a pass breakup because he just kind of, like, played and flitted along the boundary. You know what I think? Henderson's kind of got that sort of a vibe to him, which is an issue. Because when he's asked to play with physicality, and that's not an if, that's a when. Like, you need to at the NFL level. You need to be able to stick a guy in the contact window and push him off the red line. You need to be able to fill against the run, especially if you're going to end up being a guy who moves to the nickel position, which I don't think C.J. Henderson necessarily has to move to nickel, but he's might be going to come in at 190, and so he's not super thick. Especially if you're going to play the nickel, as we talked about on yesterday's podcast, with Isang Bassey, the kid at Wake Forest, you need to be able to be physical in that role. You need to be able to come up and fill against the run. And so Henderson, like I don't want to, like, he covers, like he might be a free safety. And like you don't want to take that, that swip. You don't want to take that man coverage stickiness, that change of direction, and put it into safety where plays are on much straighter lines. But just he's so comfortable with his eyes in the backfield, playing route concepts as they develop in front of him, looking to bait, looking to close, looking to attack the football. Like, that's where he's at his best. And so, like, he's got man coverage traits, but he's so much more comfortable in zones right now that, like, I don't know. I want to get him away from line of scrimmage. I want to get him into the defensive backfield. And so is he an off-cover three guy who just never comes up to the line of scrimmage? That's a few systems. That's Philadelphia. That's Washington. Like, they want to play cover three and they want to bring you off the line. Mm-hmm. But if you're not there, then you're a liability for me in the first 5 yards now.
It's just hard to be as in control of the matchup as you would like for your number one corner to be when they can't be more physical than CJ is. And I think that's the big thing for me is that CJ might be a good... CJ might be a really good CB2 at the next level. I just don't want him being that locked down, like the guy who's got to dictate the number one matchup in the game, because he just doesn't have the strength to. So, not exactly sure. I mean, the safety idea is kind of interesting. I never even really thought of that. I guess I'd have to think more on that, just because you're right. He does do most of his best work in space. If you made this guy almost like a single high rangey player.
I can tell you right now, he's got the speed.
Oh, totally. Yeah, he totally does.
Power, but he's got the ball skills.
Totally does. I think he'd have to hit a little bit better than he does right now, but it is what it is. Let's talk about Okuda next, because I thought that Okuda and Henderson were similar in certain ways.
Okuda's like if Henderson were good.
So Okuda does...
Wow, I thought I was going to get chastised for that one. Good.
No, I mean,
keep it rolling.
You know, that was a dumb comment. So... Okuda, and I think that's a good segue for me, the way that I ended it with Henderson. I think that Okuda allows himself and has the strength to stay in control of his assignments, dictate the result, have a little bit more of it in his own hands than Henderson. I think both of these guys are really twitched up athletes. Okuda's got great feet. Both of them have good length. But the thing is that Okuda uses his length a lot. He's not afraid to get in there and be strong at a contact point or dictate a blocking assignment when the ball's coming his way in run support or something like that. So I think both these guys, one of their top traits, if not the top trait that both these guys boast, is they have awesome recovery speed. They're watching things. They can see plays happen. They can see that quarterback load up, and then they hit that different gear. That you need to play as a skilled corner. And so I think both of those guys, I think CJ Henderson's got a little bit better ball skills than Okuda does right now, but Okuda doesn't have any interceptions. I don't want to put that on him necessarily because, like, interceptions aren't the be-all, end-all. But I do still think that CJ Henderson has better ball skills at this point than Jeffrey Okuda does. But there are little things in Okuda's game that make him a more, how do I say this? I guess well-rounded or more of a potential first-round corner in the fact that I could see him potentially being a CB1 in the NFL because he has the strength to dictate matchups a little bit better than CJ Henderson does. That's my thoughts on Okuda.
Yeah, I'm glad that you said he's probably closer to that, like, you know, potential first-round fringe than Henderson, because I actually said in the in the Slack where I was talking about the post I want to write. I would draft Hall, Fulton, and Adebo in the first round tomorrow. Diggs, Gladney, Okuda, and then the last player we're going to talk about today, who will go nameless, are all in
range. Who shall not be named until another 5 minutes.
He's in the description, but yeah, it's you know, you Okuda, to me, Okuda's in that range, and Ed Henderson isn't. And I agree with what you said in terms of the footwork and the recovery speed, the quickness, the range of motion, the flexibility. That's all. It's very similar mold, and they both like the bait. I mean, you watch Okuda against Jake Browning in Washington, and he knows Browning ain't got a pop gun arm. You know what I mean? He knows Browning ain't throwing with zest, and he's just sitting on crossers. Just like, yeah, he's open, throw it. You gotta do it. Like, it's taunting. You know what I mean? It's like playing basketball with your younger brother and just like holding him at arm's length. He can't reach you. Like, Okuda's just like, he's got dudes on a string, right? And that burst that he has off his step is an elite trait. It's a blue chip trait that, you know, people will draft that trait in the first round alone. Maybe not in a class that has, you know, guys that we are so high on, but. In any given cornerback class, you know, you see a guy like Okuda explode the way he explodes out of his back pedal, out of a side shuffle, and then when he's pursuing a crosser, when he's in first gear, all of that, like that explosive will get drafted in the first round every day of the week. I don't care what the draft is, you know. And so that's an elite trait, and he has you brought up this well in terms of the Henderson comparison. He has the physicality and the length to play in a step kick press, in a leverage style of press, while the mirror matchability, the soft shoeing, the playing square to line and playing out of the back pedal is also 100% there. And that's where he's at his strongest right now. But I do believe he has the traits requisite to play in that step kick and in that working that leverage, playing with more of that one-handed punch and kind of leaning guys with leverage into the sideline. Now, Okuda's a man coverage corner. He likes to run with wide receivers. You ask him to read concepts with his eyes in the backfield. You ask him to play zone. Oh, I don't know what happens. Light goes off. Like, and like, I'm not, you know, it's very interesting. It's very rare to see a player as physically gifted as Okuda. Like, I just lauded his explosiveness for 30 seconds. Well, zone is all about click and close. Keep it in front of you. Read it as it develops. Get downhill when the ball comes out. And he just doesn't see it fast. I don't know what it is. Like, I think that he has a really bad feel for routes developing behind him. We talk about overlapping zones. Okuda just sits in cover three or in cover two, and he just lets routes go by and doesn't adjust his coverage, doesn't lean the zone one way or another on flood concepts and on rollouts. He doesn't really understand the other responsibilities of the fellow zone defenders he's with and how to adjust his coverage to fit with them. We talk about covering grass. Like, he's out there covering the 40. You know what I mean? Like, the literal four and the zero that are drawn onto the field. There are receivers over there, brother. Like, go get connected, you know? And he just doesn't have a good awareness, a good vestibular sense, a sense of, like, space and time. And it's very peculiar because he has the physical tools. And so, like, you know, if you could choose one coverage to be good at, choose man. But it's peculiar to me that Okuda struggles in zone. It may just be an experience thing.
Yeah.
Not a ton of reps under his belt.
Yeah, I've got to think that that's what it is, because he's got all the other tools. He does the hard stuff pretty well already. So, I mean, you've got to think that with time and another year starting, he's going to be able to get a lot more comfortable in zone. And if he does, you know, again, we're talking about a pretty good corner. Last guy that we're going to talk about, the one who was not to be named.
I teased for the last 4 minutes.
But is now being named. Jalen Johnson, the cornerback from Utah. I'll just say, before I let you loose and we hear what you have to think about him, I think Jalen Johnson's very good. Like, I'll use that as the baseline, but this guy's anticipation is like awesome. I felt like on a lot of really good plays of his, he was almost in position as the receiver. He was playing the ball so well. He knew when to break. He knew how to bait. He knew when to put his arm in there. He knew when to get position on guys. And, man, I just felt like the best plays from Jalen Johnson came from his eyes, his instincts for the position, knowing when the ball's coming there. and just looking like he was more experienced than the other guy on the other team who was trying to catch the ball. I thought that his eyes, his reading of the quarterback, and just overall assessment of plays that he was heavily involved in, man, he was great. And that's on top of a guy who I think has really good athleticism, is really smooth in coverage. He's about 6 foot, 190, is the Utah DB. I don't know if I have mentioned that yet. I can't remember. But
Utah.
Yeah. So Utah's
helping.
What'd you say?
I said I've been helpful.
I said
in school.
I said Utah, didn't I?
No, you did. I'm just saying I'm really reinforcing it so we get in a good practice.
Oh.
95% sure we didn't say Jeffrey Okuda's from Ohio State, but it's fine.
All right, Jeffrey Okuda's from Ohio State. Jalen Johnson was great. I like this tape, and man, anytime you show instincts like that where it just seems like you're a step ahead of everybody else, I'm a sucker for those kind of cornerbacks. I'm a sucker for the guys who have the athleticism from the shoulders down, but also have the instincts from the shoulders up. And I think that Jalen Johnson gives you a lot of that, what would be a total package. We say that a lot of total package from cornerback group. Jalen Johnson, I think, from the shoulders up, man, he is he's awesome.
If you just taped Jalen Johnson's fingers to one another, first round prospect, just so that he can't,
I don't exactly know what that means.
So it's just you can't grab other people's jerseys.
Oh,
if
okay.
If you just take this guy, and well, it's really not just that. You have to just generally dial back the aggressiveness. Dude's a dog. Wait, hold on.
I found this article on him. This is the quote that I was looking for because I wondered. I'm like, this dude's really smart, and I wondered if he was also like a good student as well. And Johnson has it says here, a 3.6 grade point average in business, received first team all academic honors from the Pac-12. And they asked him about it, and he says, quote, it's like what that honor means to him, basically. And he said, quote, it doesn't honestly mean really anything to me. I've been doing it my whole life. There you go.
Like, hero.
The dude's cocky about getting good grades. I love this kid.
A legend among us. Like, hey, how does it feel to be a great student on top of being a great student?
It doesn't,
athlete?
Honestly.
Like, I don't care. I don't care. Listen.
Only thing that would have been better is if he looked straight at the guy asking the question, was like, "I'm not doing it for you."
Yeah, right. Exactly. But like, and you can tell. I mean, this is the JJ Arcega Whiteside fan podcast. But let's be honest here. Now that the season's over, we don't have to stand as hard anymore. Jalen Johnson took his lunch money a few times, man. Arcega Whiteside walked into that Utah game a bully, and he walked out questioning his identity a little bit. Johnson brought the thunder. Man, he said, listen, oh, yeah, you like to box out small corners, do you? Well, guess what? Not me. And Johnson, there was also a little bit of like, and I don't care if they're completions or they're DPIs. I just want to show you that I'm not going to get pushed around. Like, he's uber competitive. And so I made the joke he's grabby downfield, and there's panic there. There's some panic downfield when he's in the recovery. And I talked about this on Monday. You got to be able to – or on Tuesday, excuse me. You got to be able to play in the recovery phase. And it's something that he's – a little bit shaky with right now, especially down the field. But Trevor, you did a great job in terms of illustrating that this guy sees it really quick when he's an off.
Yeah.
You talk about running routes for receivers. It's easy to run the routes for the receivers when you choose where they're going to go, which if you want to run a 10-yard out and Jalen Johnson's looking for you at 8 yards, guess what? You're running an 8-yard out. You ain't getting to 10.
Yeah.
He's so stinking physical. Like Johnson is a dictate corner. He is not a match corner. It's not, all right, wherever you want to go, I'm coming with you. It's, you're going where I choose you're going to go. I'm going to throw off the timing of this route. I'm going to throw off the steps of your route. I'm going to throw off these route distributions. I'm going to cram space. I'm going to disrupt this play before the ball gets out of the wide receiver, the quarterback's hands. And he's like got like decent ball production numbers, but they're not great. And that's a large part of it. Like, he's not playing the balls that arise where it's supposed to arrive. He's playing the receiver and trying to eliminate the throw entirely. Like, the ball's not even going to come his way. So long, athletic, and then finally obsessed with the football. You'd think this thing is made of gold the way he wants it. I didn't see a rep where he didn't attack the catch point. He's like 5 steps late for a play against Washington State. Like, there's no catch has been made, and he still like dived for the catch point out of bounds. It's like it would be an incompletion if he got the ball out. Like, it's too late. But he's so He's really effective with length, with physicality, with timing, and just constantly addressing the catch point. And you see incidental pass breakups accordingly. Pass breakups where it's not him swatting the football, not necessarily, but him attacking an elbow, attacking a shoulder, attacking a – even like forcing a guy to land on the ball as he's tackling him to the ground. Anything he can do to address your upper body such that it is hard for you to complete the process of the catch, Johnson is there. He is ball hungry, and I love it. It's so exciting to watch. So we've got to – And again, this is a common theme. I'd rather you have it and you have to dial it back than you don't have me try to dial it up. We got to just dial back the aggressiveness because he's penalty heavy and he'll get burned on double moves because he thinks he knows what he's looking at. But that's not a problem to me if you're going to make the high quality plays that he's going to make. Highly effective in the running game, highly effective in the contact window. Decent technique and press that can get better, but the physical tools are there such that he's effective in the press against most people. He's mostly in off coverage and he's super smart there as well. Another guy who, like I said, he was the last one. I can talk myself into the first round for Jalen Johnson with a strong year, which, man, like, how many times have I said that in the past 3 days? Unbelievable class.
3 days in, we've had some really damn good corners, and I know we're at least talking about one tomorrow that could be another potential first round or two. I haven't seen a lot of the other three guys, so, I mean, like I said, according to the pace of how we're going through things, all four of them could be first-round corners. We could have basically looked at
like
12 top 50 players in a week, in which case I'm going to be mad that we ever looked at any linebackers in this class. So four more guys tomorrow, four more underclassmen, then we're hitting a Fan Friday. Fan Friday is going to be a good one. If there are some corners that we even did not get to that you guys really want us to check out, just ask us about it. And we'll hopefully try to check him out. We'll do our top five. Top five this week, Ben, is going to be difficult.
Top five is going to be. Seven.
I'm not going to let you do that, actually. I'm going to make you do a top five.
Might be top eight, because if I find another future first rounder in there, brother, we're just throwing him out of the pile.
I'm going to hold you to it, dude. I'm going to hold you to it. I'm going to force Ben to narrow this list down to five.
All right. Enemy of the podcast.
Until then. You guys keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.